16, and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In Psalm 127, verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And then in verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." We're going to be talking about family, and so we'll end up in the book of Proverbs. And the family has been under attack, but especially in most recent years, the family in America has been under attack even heavier. For decades, the family has been under attack, but in the most recent years, it's not, I would say, it's no longer just an attack, it's an all-out war. It's a vicious war for our families. Good churches should be at the forefront of this attack, leading the way and saying, "You're not going to, we want to be there," and that's why we're trying to do some of the things even in this month. We want to be there as a help, as an asset to good homes. And why? Because as the homes go, so go the church. And so we want good families. We need to be there at the forefront of this attack. We need to help lead the charge against the onslaught that the devil has laid against families and godly values that should be in our home. Here's just a couple examples in the news recently. There's a congressman from New Jersey. His name is Congressman Chris Smith. He's from New Jersey. He's an outspoken advocate for the unborn. He's an outspoken advocate for religious liberty. Recently, he shared how bad the attacks have been and escalated just in the past year. This is just an article that he wrote this week. "His tires have been slashed 8 times. A man has been arrested for making death threats against his family. Somebody, he doesn't know who, has put a price tag of $500,000 to kill him." This is in America. This is not in some third world country. This is in America. Slashed his tires 8 times. All right? A man arrested for making death threats. $500,000 bounty on his head. His opponents have raised $1 million to do a social media campaign to ruin his character. That's one man. "I'm glad, though," he says, "I ain't quitting." He said, "I could enjoy a peaceful life, but like many before me, I will press on to protect liberty and justice." The University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. All right, so the University of Wisconsin, just kind of like Purdue or IU, they have different branches. So this is the University of Wisconsin right in Milwaukee, about 3-hour drives for us. In the summer, they host an annual Pride Discovery Camp. It's a summer program for teenagers by the schools it's to promote LGBT resources. According to the event's webpage, the camp is designed to inspire LGBT and high school students to embrace their multiple identities. I get that. We used to call that schizophrenia. And to embrace their multiple identities and gain a better understanding of marginalized identities through community building, activism, self-expression, and connection in the LGBT communities. You know what that means? They're promoting sin. All right? It's very wordy, but basically it's a sin camp. It's an immoral, impure fest of filth. And guess what? It's promoted all through the schools. All the public schools, hey, put it up there. But guess what? If you dare have a Bible club, we're going to shut you down. All right, a couple examples. Congressman, University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, a camp that is funded. And then, according to Denver 7 News, This was just this past week, so all this is this week. House Bill 19-1032 would add more human sexuality curriculum on topics such as consent, birth control, abstinence, STD prevention, LGBTQ inclusion, healthy relationships with, I have no clue what that means for them. One man said this is a serious overreach by opponents. It's they're saying they want age-appropriate information going all the way down into the lower elementary grades. All right, that's in Denver. It's going through. Jeff Hunt is the director of Colorado Christians University Centennial Institute, and he says this is really a special interest effort to force out any opposition to the work of Planned Parenthood and the ACLU when it comes to their definition and curriculum on human sexuality. It's very clear from the Democrats and this legislator that they want to the schools, listen to this, it's very clear from the legislators that they want the schools to replace the parents. Nowhere do I find that in Scripture. Nowhere do I find that in the Bible. And yet our country marches on against the family. The last one, a man that heads up the PR department of parentalrights.org right outside of Washington, D.C., says the following. There is a trend that is seen in court cases, and he lists them out. In 2005, Fields versus Palmdale, which was out in California, they held, the court upheld that parents have no say in what, when, or how their children are taught about controversial subjects in public schools. Did you hear that? The court upheld it. A judge upheld it. The parents have no say. He also said in Parker versus Hurley in 2007, they held that parents have no right to opt their children out of objectionable material, even if it does not involve a core curricular subject. Even in most recent machinists by lawmakers, they have targeted parents who want to withdraw their children from the overreaching public school system, ruling that their tax dollars collected for public education cannot be used to instruct their children outside the state-run schools. In 2009, it is also seen in legislation such as Congress in 2009 defunded a voucher program in D.C. that allowed low-income families to make school choice for their children. It mirrors a parallel lawsuit in 2013 from the state of Louisiana. It was brought on by the federal government sued the state of Louisiana in an attempt to end an educational choice program in that state where it said that the parents have the right to choose where to educate their children. Now, the problem is that in our society, you know why we have a bunch of socialists that have now come into the Congress? You know why a bunch of socialists are welcome into our Congress? Because for decades now, in our school system, socialism is the norm. Who is your parent? I don't know. It's just somebody. All right? And so parents are marginalized. Families are relegated to something that, you know, it's there, but really, we're your family. It takes a village. No, it doesn't. It takes a godly set of parents. That's what it takes. And our country is deteriorating because we have gone against biblical principles that guide us in home rearing and building a home. God help us if our churches follow that same trend. God help us if as a church we are not on the forefront of the warpath saying, stop this lunacy. Stop this lunacy. We don't need this. We want our children to be godly people. We want a pure people. We want a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar people. I know that. But God has said that that's what we should be. And it's sad that in today's day and age, we are seeing, that's just four examples from this week. Four examples this week of crazy things that are going on in our country. And if you are going to put your head in the sand and say that there is not an onslaught against families, an onslaught against parenting, then you don't know what's going on. And you're living in a very dangerous, precarious way. Because the devil is having an all-out war against homes. I mentioned that we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to look at the book of Proverbs five times over the month of February. And the reason is that Proverbs is a wise book. It was written mainly from a dad, perspective of a dad to a son saying, hey, here's some things you should learn. And so we're going to take five messages throughout the month of February, and we'll be considering different aspects of our family in relation to the teachings out of the book of Proverbs. So as just a way of introduction, and then we'll pray, let me mention some things about the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is an interesting book. The book can be divided into basically three sections. There are more, but basically chapters 1 through 9 is wisdom. It's an explanation of wisdom. It's the importance of wisdom, the blessings that come when you gain wisdom. So that's chapter, kind of the first division. Really, there's a second division, and that is chapter 10 through the end. But most people divide that up because basically chapter 10 to about 28, 29 is mostly Solomon writing just kind of almost one-line thoughts, Proverbs. Okay, so he's writing one-line thoughts. So that's chapter 10 almost to the end. And then you have chapter 30, chapter 31, a couple at the end that are written by other people. So that's kind of an overview of the book of Proverbs. But when you study the book of Proverbs, it's kind of hard because it can kind of be random. All right, our family, we've been going through the book of Proverbs starting in January. And so we read one chapter of Proverbs. So if I turn just randomly to a proverb, a chapter in the book of Proverbs, and I start at verse 15, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge, right? So verse 1 and 2 seem, it's talking about the tongue. Then you go to verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, behold the evil and the good. Verse 4 talks about the tongue again. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And you're like, okay, so what does that have to do with it? They're not always related. It's kind of just thoughts, precepts, right, that a father is putting down, writing his son. So one way that you can study the book of Proverbs is to go to the book of Proverbs and say, all right, I want to know, what does the book of Proverbs say about the family? So that's kind of what we're going to do five different times through the month of February. We're going to say, for today it's kind of an overview just about what does the book of Proverbs say about a wise house? Tonight we're going to look at, so what does the book of Proverbs say about dads in the home? Then we're going to take one Sunday, and we're going to say, so what does the book of Proverbs say about women in the home? Okay, then we're going to look at teens. Oh, yeah, teens and children. And then one, on a Thursday night, we're going to talk about beatdowns. All right, if you don't know, that's discipline. All right, so we're going to talk about discipline, because basically, in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot about correction and discipline and different things that should be incorporated in the home. So we have all of these different aspects from the book of Proverbs. There's a pastor down in Avon, Indiana, and I grabbed some thoughts from him. He's a pastor down in Avon, Indiana. He's been down there for, I think, over 30 years. And this is what he wrote about, kind of as an intro to Proverbs. The often repeated maxim, experience is the best teacher. Have you ever heard that? Experience is the best teacher, enjoys almost unquestioned universal acceptance. Contrary to popular belief, however, experience itself proves that the best teacher is not experience. I can tell you that. I would rather not experience some things. All right, experience is not the best teacher. It frequently leaves wounds. wastes precious time, squanders valuable resources. Many graduates of the school of hard knocks face insurmountable problems that ultimately overwhelm them in debt, depression, and desperation. The Bible emphasizes, and specifically the book of Proverbs emphasizes precepts. That's what you find throughout, line upon line. It's precepts. Precepts, not experience, should be one's primary teacher. A biblical precept, rightly applied, brings good results. Hence, when one obeys biblical precepts, he makes wise decisions without the pain and regret of experience gone awry. I say amen to that. You know, and I don't have to say, well, experience has to be my teacher. Actually, the Bible can help you to have good experiences. It can help you to line up your life so that your life is then based biblically on a strong foundation rather than just, oh, this person said, try this. All right, well, if that's true, then what are your kids, a guinea pig? Like, hey, come over here, kid. This person said this will taste good. All right, you try it first, all right, before I try it. All right, and after they puke and they turn purple or whatever, and you're like, oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to try that. You know, experience, we've all tried that before. Experience isn't the greatest teacher. Sometimes I like to be able to look and see somebody else's experience and then say, that is not what I'm going to do. And so Solomon writes his son. He writes his son and says, here's some things that'll make a godly, wise home. Heavenly Father, I pray as we look at this concept this morning, and we start through the month of February, help us to build godly homes. Help us to let the Scriptures do its work. Lord, help it, the Holy Spirit, as always, I ask you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. Lord, even today in our Sunday school class, we were looking at the verse in Matthew 18 where it says, where two or three are gathered in thy name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, I know there's more than two or three of us that are gathered here in thy name. So Lord, by faith, we accept that you're here in our midst. We ask you to move and do your work. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at the concept of a home, just and kind of an overall introduction of what is a wise home? What is a godly home according to the book of Proverbs? And like I said, we're going to be kind of all over the book of Proverbs because that's one of the things, they're not, all the verses are not together. So we kind of go through there and we'll give you some points under, we have two main points here this morning. So number one is God's blueprint for a righteous home. What is God's blueprint for a righteous home? Let's turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 27. So notice what it says in verse 27. You're going to see a very important key. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Now, he gives, remember that one way of teaching, Proverbs, a lot of times they contrast things. So a lot of times the contrast is from a wise man and a foolish man, or a sluggard and a diligent man. You'll see these contrasts. So later in the passage, he gives us a contrast. So look at the contrast in verse 30. So he's saying a wise man prepares, he's looking, making it fit in the field, and then afterwards he builds his house. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful. So what is a sloth? Anybody know? It's somebody that is is lazy. All right, come on now, you got to be with me. A sloth, a slothful person, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you're slothful, that is not, they are not praising you. Just so you know that, all right? That is not a badge. If you got the ribbon at camp and it said Chief Sloth, and you're like, yeah, all right, that means you're a complete loser, All right, you're a sluggard, you're lazy, you're good for nothing. So don't cheer about that. All right, it means you got some character issues. Okay, so when it says, I went by the field of the slothful, it's a lazy person. Notice, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall there was broken down. Then I saw, here is, remember wisdom? It's not experience. This man looks. He looks. He saw, considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. God's blueprint for a righteous home. First of all, if I'm going to have a righteous home, I need careful planning. I think it's fitting that Solomon gives us an illustration to follow this idea of careful planning. It's imperative that we understand the importance of marriage. It's imperative that we get some thinking and training on family and child rearing. I'm not saying that there has to be years and years and years of counseling, but in essence, there should be a little more forethought than, hey, I fell in love. No, you didn't. All right, maybe you fell in lust. That's what I'm going to say. But where was the prayer? Where was the time? Where was the fasting? Where was the anything? In fact, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the hasty man is not diligent. That hastiness is wrong. So just saying, I fell in love, or we're just meant to be together. It's in the stars. All of those are silliness. It's not careful planning. And yet today, that's what we're taught. That's what, you know what? I went online and I saw their profile. We just seemed like a match. So if you had anybody pray with you on it, what's the church for? What are pastors there for? Just to give you a stamp of approval? There should be careful planning. And today, that's not even thought of anymore. There should be some prayer and some thought. There should be people on their knees saying, God, I want you to bless this marriage. If we would take a little more thought in preparing our fields and preparing those things around, maybe our houses would be established. That's what the Bible is saying. And so even as young children, the careful planning, that's why it is important that dad and mom are in the home. It is important. We may forego many times. Think of carelessness. And that's what this is basically saying. Be careful of carelessness in your marriage and in your home, in your child rearing. Careful planning. You know, we might forego locking our car doors. I've done that before, and others have. And then when this happened recently in the last couple of months, I live right on property, and I'm spoiled. You know, there's really not much bad that happens here on property. Some of you may disagree, but there's not much bad that happens on our property. And so I get used. I leave the keys in my car and all that. Well, some of the guys living in the dormitories left their keys, or they left their cars unlocked, and somebody came through and just cleaned them out. You know what that makes you do? All right, next night. I'm locking it. You know, I may forego some of that sometimes, but some of that is, you know, we get careless, don't we? All right, but that's just our car. All right, that could just be something little at your house, or something that sometimes you get a little careless because, oh, it's not a big deal. We've got to be careful of that same idea when it comes to our homes and our marriages. There should be careful planning. Secondly, we're there in chapter 24, so go up a little bit earlier in chapter 24. Look at verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. All right, so the first thing, God's blueprint. I'm going to have careful planning. The second thing, it says that there's going to be wise management. Now, we are brought in three words that are in Proverbs very commonly. Notice the three words. Chapter 24, verse 3, wisdom. Second word, understanding. Verse 4, knowledge. Three words. So you have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and they're kind of used interchangeably. So let me just help you a little bit with those three words. Okay, so you have knowledge. No wisdom or understanding can ever be gained without knowledge. Knowledge is kind of your base. Knowledge simply, whenever you see normally in the book of Proverbs, the word knowledge, it means education or learning. So I've got to have knowledge. So what type of knowledge do I have to have? What kind of knowledge is the Bible telling me to have? Obviously, Bible knowledge. Right? It's godly instruction and learning. So that's my base, but then you have understanding and wisdom. All right, so let me just try to help you to understand. So I have a base of knowledge, and it's Bible knowledge. So I'm learning, and I'm getting instruction, okay? That's what one of the jobs of the church, remember? Ephesians chapter 4, you've been given apostles and teachers and preachers and pastors. What does it say? For the perfecting, that word means mature, complete, for the perfecting of the saints. So the church has been given pastors. We study the Bible and then we give you knowledge. So that's why I get irritated when you skip church. I get irritated when you say teaching's not important. Why are we having a men's retreat? Why are we having a ladies' retreat? Why do we have times of teaching? Because you will never gain understanding or wisdom without any knowledge. You'll never do it. You'll just be a foolish idiot. All right? And it's got to be Bible knowledge. So then I have to have knowledge. So knowledge by itself, does it get me understanding and wisdom? No. Because it just sits there. Aha. So I got to have understanding. Understanding is your foot soldiers. It's your workhorses. So what you do is you get that knowledge and I hand them over to understanding and they start working it. You know what the work is? It's now I've been to church, I'm getting it, and I want understanding. So I start, the Bible talks about this, I maybe ask some people, hey, I got this. Is there a book I can read? Is there something I can study? I start working. Understanding is your work. It's your work ethic. And without a work ethic in the knowledge you've been giving, you're going to be stupid. Sorry. Sorry for using that term. You know, you're not supposed to use that S word, but guess what? There's a whole bunch of stupid people out here. Oh, not out here. All right, out in the world. They're out there, I think. All of us are wise, okay? Because we're at church. Okay, so I have knowledge. Understanding is my foot soldiers. That's the workhorses that I put them. I engage them. I engage them, and then my knowledge, through understanding, I get godly wisdom. See all of them working together? So knowledge and understanding gives me wisdom. It's wise management. That's why it is important to be in this book, and it's important to be a student of the Word. Remember in 2 Timothy, it might be 1 Timothy, but remember Paul instructs Timothy to study to show thyself approved. I understand that's, you know, he was writing to pastors, he was writing to those that were going into ministry, but that word is preserved for you and I, for a layman too. Study. Be in God's book. Again, I go back to it. That's why I have a retreat. That's why I have some events that we have and we train and we teach to give some knowledge and then to give you some tools so your workhorses, so your foot soldiers in your heart and your mind can get at it so we can be wise. God's blueprint for a righteous home. Careful planning, wise management. All right, we're there in chapter 24. Let's go to chapter 25. You may not think of this as fitting, but I think if 25, verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I look at that as a house. Okay? Then you go to chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So what is a blueprint? A blueprint from the book of Proverbs for a righteous home, careful planning, wise management, and then thirdly, godly, upright living. It's not going to happen if you don't start getting those foot soldiers to work. You've got to get, all right, the Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5, 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. It's a command. It's not an option. It's something that I'm supposed to do. And if you look at the grammar, it's in the present tense. That means that it's continual. It's every day I come to God and say, fill me, help me. Why? Because I need to be upright when I'm filled with the Spirit. I have love and joy and peace, long-suffering, temperance. Temperance is self-control. If I know that, I've read the Bible. I know it. But I need the understanding, so I got to go to work. And one of the ways that I work is I've got to ask God to take those things and build a better man. Build a new man. Build a stronger man, a godly man, an upright man. And a good home is filled with uprightness, with godliness. It's not filled with trash. And some of you sitting here, even this morning, you filled your mind with trash, and you tell me how much good church is to you. You fill your mind this week. You're going to listen to cussing. You're going to listen to impure music. You're going to listen to people talking about raping somebody or just having their way with somebody. And you're going to say that's okay. You don't have a good home then. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm banking my home on God's word. Not on your thoughts. And God's word says a righteous home plans carefully, has wise management, and then puts in place godly, upright living. What did it say in Proverbs 27? It says in Proverbs 27 that a prudent man foreseeth the evil. It means godly, upright living. And that means in a good home, that wrong behavior is not tolerated. Where do we see that? Let me give you a couple of verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 11 and verse 29. Proverbs 11, 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. And just so you know, that's not refreshing wind. All right, it's not like, oh, it's a nice cool breeze. Oh, no. All right, that's kind of talk about the whirlwind. It's talking like a hurricane coming. All right, this ain't something good. You trouble your home, you inherit the wind. The fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Notice Proverbs 15, 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. What is that saying? Greedy of gain. You know what we have to be careful of? We got to be careful of materialism and covetousness. It can creep into our house. And then all of a sudden, it's all about this world. You know what our job is, dads, moms? It's not about this world. So guess what? If, all right, let's go there. Let's go. All right, you're going to understand why. So if, hey, I can get overtime. I get triple pay and skip church. You don't think your kids see that? Hey, I'll watch the service online. Just so you know, I don't consider TV being at church. All right, just so you know. Hey, I'm in my jammies with my coffee. and I muted them. Can I fast forward them too? I don't like that section. That's not church. I understand the convenience. Hey, when I'm out, I was somewhere a long way away. And guess what? I watched the church service because I had nowhere else. It was a two-hour drive to get to church. So I watched the church service. But you know, Christmas Sunday, I was in this pulpit and I preached. And I was heading down to Greenville. And so we got in the car and I drove very fast. Okay, I drove very fast to be at church. And I made it at 7:02 and our family was in church. And guess what? Then on Wednesday night, we were in church. And on the way home, we watched the services together in the car. Praise the Lord. I loved it. It was extra. And some of us, we wonder. We wonder why. Oh, man, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Church is kind of important to God.
Amen.
And so when it comes to godly, upright living, what I'm doing is I'm promoting godliness, and I'm also showing my children what ungodly living is, and we don't want it in our house. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Some of you, you've experienced that. Greed has come into your heart, and it's taken over. And you choose things that basically are for money instead of godliness. Proverbs 17 says this, verse 13. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his, what? House. You know what it tells me? Those of you that are parents, and you get on me because I believe in spanking. I don't believe in abuse. Sorry. I believe in spanking. And that's our next point, okay? You'll see. I believe in a proper balance of that. But I say it's abuse to not name sin. That's what I think. There's a whole bunch of Christians that are abusive. You know why? Because sin cost. There is a multitude of people sitting in the hospital, and it's not just because of just some ailment or some disease that just so happened. It's a disease because of sin, because they chose some addiction. They chose to live a certain way, and sin cost. And as a parent, if you don't name that sin, guess what? You're not a good dad. You're not a good husband. If you're not showing that in your home, that you're rewarding evil for good, or good for evil, or something like whatever it says in Proverbs 17. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. You know what that almost sounds like? You know, it's a little, you know, those that are into voodoo there, you talk about a spell. But this is God. Not a spell. It's not some spookiness. When I don't call out sin in my house, I'm bringing God's curse on my home. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what they think of me. I don't want God's curse on my house. I want his blessing. So then our last point on God's blueprint. So there's four things in the book of Proverbs that and there's probably a lot more, but I looked at four things. There's careful planning. There's wise management. I'm gonna promote godly, upright living, and I'm gonna demote wrong behavior. All right, so that kind of goes together. But then the last one, it's a place of godly love and peace. We're there in Proverbs 17. So let's go to back to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 17. Look at what it says. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. All right, so let's just think about that. So a dinner of herbs, it's saying, so herbs, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like a nappy salad to me. Doesn't it sound like just a nappy? It sounds like some, like, really, all right, it's just a bunch of herbs. So I got some oregano in there, and I got some parsley, and then oil and vinegar. And I'm like, all right, like, that's it? I'm like, all right, that's what the cows eat. All right, so I want the cow, actually. So can you give me the cow? And I want it medium. All right, I want it lightly salted. All right, garlic butter. All right, but you know what the Bible is telling me? Better is a dinner of herbs where love is. It goes back to saying it's not about what we have in possessions. So as a dad, is my only job to give my kids a house? Some of you that work in the workforce, you've heard people say that. Hey, I don't know what's wrong with my kids. I gave them a house. Because, Dad, that's not all there is. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox. Now, that sounds weird to me. A stalled ox sounds like a car, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like it's something sitting outside. Like you're saying a stalled Honda? I mean, a stalled ox? All right, so here's an ox that is put in the stall, and it's, I mean, you talk about, that's some grub right there. All right, we got some ribs thrown down. All right, maybe some fillets. We get all kinds of good stuff. But it says, what's there? Hatred. Hatred. Proverbs 17, and we'll close with this. Proverbs 17. So 15, and Proverbs 17 almost says the same thing. Better is a dry morsel, that means almost nothing, and quietness therewith, than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You know what there needs to be in our homes? And dads, this comes from you. Shouldn't be yelling and screaming. All right, hey, you know, two people, I always say this in marriage, two people come together, there's going to be some friction. You know, I was like, oh, you know, we've never fought. All right, so did you live together? All right, I'm never going to be one of those that say, my wife and I we've never had a disagreement ever. No, yeah, guess what? If you've met either of us, we're pretty opinionated, we're pretty dogmatic, and we're pretty intense, okay? Both of us are. So guess what? There's going to be once in a while just a little discussion, all right? Just a little healthy discussion. So that happens sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you're not having a good day. I'm not having a good day. She's not having a good day. So, but guess what? That shouldn't be the norm in a house. If we're godly and every day we're going before God and saying, Spirit of God, I need you today. Then when we say something cross, hey, I'm sorry for saying that. Shouldn't have said it that way. God should be present in the home. Remember Matthew 18, I prayed that in my prayer, where two or three are gathered in the midst. So if me and my wife are united in prayer, guess who's in our home? God. And where God is, there's not craziness. So this is just a little suggestion to some of you. So click the noise off. Turn the tunes down or off. Do that for a couple days. You know what you'll find? You'll find some peace that'll come. The kids won't know what's going on. Like, Dad, that's not. You know why? Because you've fed them the world. And they have an appetite for it now. It's bad. You're giving them a bad appetite. So start giving them an appetite for godliness. And show them what true love is. All right? True love isn't just, oh, hey, you know, and this is what happens in a world. You come in, dad's mad, so he punches and beats up the wife or beats up the little kid. And then the next day, what does he have? All right? Oh, you know what? Oh, hey, here's a diamond ring. Sorry? No. Uh-uh. You know what? Just get right. I don't need a bunch of money. Materialism isn't everything. What we need is godliness. I need love. And you know what you'll find in a good home, a righteous home? Your kids, you're never going to have everything. It's not possible. But if you approach it properly, your kids will understand. It's not about this life. But I can have everything. Why? Because like Colossians says in Colossians 3, I'm going to find that Christ is my all. And your kids can understand that Christ is all. And having Christ satisfies everything. And you know what he'll do? He'll supply your needs too. Every once in a while, he'll even give you something you want. Not just what you need. Because that's how good our Heavenly Father is. In the Bible, we get instruction. You know, so many people go to the world or they see a public figure and they're like, oh, what does he say about the home? I don't care. Let me give you an example. I read this yesterday. It just blew me away. Most, all right, maybe not younger, but most older, you've heard of John Lennon. John Lennon was part of the Beatles. Had everything. Man, literally was a rock star. So here's John Lennon making, I mean, who knows how many millions and millions and millions when millions was a lot more. His son was interviewed. His son's name is Julian. Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son, was abandoned by him when he was 5, and he left his mom also. So they got a hold of Julian Lennon, and they probably thought it would be positive. Here's the great John Lennon. Listen to what he said. These are his words. I felt he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the most to him, his wife and son. How can you talk about peace and love and have a family in bits and pieces? No communication, adultery, divorce. You can't do it. Not if you are being true and honest with yourself. That's his son. Oh, it's all about peace. No. You know why? Because I really don't care what a public figure says about a right home. What I care about is God's blueprint for a righteous home. We gave you 4 different things right out of the book of Proverbs that are God's blueprint. Careful planning, wise management, godly, upright living, and you're promoting that and you're demoting wrong living, and you're creating an atmosphere of love and peace in the home, not strife. You know what all of that is founded on? This right here. It's this book. This book needs to be a priority in our home. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning,